For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, March the 19th, 1992. First service of the spring camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Coffey is the speaker of the evening. This is one of toots of the evening service.
Thank you, Glenn. Praise the Lord. You know, there's only a half a man up here tonight. I have a wife back here who's a minister. Minister of the Lord. We minister together. Come, Mildred. I want you to meet her tonight. She'll share with you at a later time, or maybe tonight. She'll probably share some tonight. Not? Okay. We've been married for a few years. In fact, I married such a young girl that she had to have permission to get married. Now, she's going to blush. That's all right. Her parents wouldn't give permission. They said, I'm afraid it won't last. And I agree with them. It won't. We've been married, too many years, 46 years. And it won't last. I'm corrected, 47 now. That's right. Last month was 47. And it won't last. One day we'll go home to be with the Lord. But she ministers deliverance in a church. We have a very small church. And I'll share a little bit of it later about the church. And she ministers in the church, and she pushes deliverance. So, Mildred, come have to say a few words. Here, use this one.
Praise the Lord. I said, but Glenn, when we came in, I said, does this always happen when you ask somebody over here? We've been coming. We'd love to come over here. We starve for fellowship. You mentioned the coffees and the anywhere in Memphis. They know us or know about us, and they think they know about our church. And so they always say, oh, deliverance, stay away from those people. But the Lord called us. I tell you, the Lord put deliverance in me. I don't understand. It has to be of the Lord, because I was praying. We're from a Baptist background. And in the Baptist church, women don't preach. But I'm not in the Baptist church anymore. I hadn't been for quite a while. But it was hard. It was hard to go and do what God called me to do. The Lord called me. I'm going to share a little bit. I said I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. If you don't mind, I'm going to take a liberty. But the Lord called me one night in the bed, and he told me that he had called me to minister his word. And I still was so full of Baptist doctrine that I couldn't do it. I said, Lord, I cried, and I said, Lord, no. You call Jim, I know you have, and I'll stand in the background and pray. And the Lord said, and the Lord gave me a scripture, and he said, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He said, he will not stand before me and answer for what I've called you to do.
Amen.
And so I didn't jump right into it. He had to drag me into it, the Lord did. But he did open the door, and we were called into a church. And he said he would share that, so I won't go into that. But the Lord preached to me that I was neither male nor female in his sight. I was his child, and I was blood-bought, washed, and redeemed, covered with the blood of Jesus. And when he saw me as a spirit being. He gave me scripture for everything I'm saying. He preached from Genesis to Revelation to me in my bed and told me, he said, I've called you to minister my word. And so I reluctantly began to share it. And I always thought when I started to preach that men would reject me. But I found the women did more than the men did. But praise the Lord, the Lord has worked it out. But he put deliverance in my heart. And it had to be the Lord, because as many times I would like to have walked away from it because of persecution. And if you're really in deliverance, you know what I'm talking about. But the Lord is sufficient in every need. And he has worked mightily. We have seen mighty things in deliverance. We believe in deliverance. I only preach deliverance. I may start out preaching, because if you preach Jesus, you're going to preach deliverance. If you're going to preach salvation, you're going to preach deliverance. So I only preach deliverance. So I praise the Lord, though. I do thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for my husband. He said, we're one. And what he meant, he said, hey, if a man, he's always been behind me as I did deliverance, and I stand with him. We work together. And I praise the Lord for him, because God's blessed us. He's not only blessed our ministry, we've got two sons that are in the ministry. One is fully in deliverance. The other one will be when he stops dragging his heels. And I just praise God for what he's doing, and I'm praising him for what he's going to do. When he asked someone, I don't remember who asked it, I think it's been asked a couple times tonight, if you came to get delivered. I always come to get delivered. And I get delivered doing deliverance. And people come to me and say, well, does everybody need deliverance? And I said, the only people I know that do not need deliverance are those that are already home with the Lord. Because the only perfect person we've ever known is Jesus. So I thank him for all he's doing. I thank you for the privilege of being here and sharing with you and fellowshipping with you. And I tell you, we love you. Jim and I starve for fellowship. And we love it, Irma and Glenn. We've been coming up here quite a while. We've never really gotten involved in everything we wanted to. But you know what? We had been rejected so much, especially me, because I'm a woman, that I couldn't be free to fellowship. I come and wanted to, but then we'd back away. But the Lord's working, and I praise the Lord for it. Amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen. We came from that kind of a background that was a denominational church. We got off with a strange group of people, threw the hands in the air and praised the Lord. Didn't mind acknowledging Jesus Christ. I hit the ground running. Let me tell you, we were as hungry as any two people you've ever seen. And when we came off of that, we stopped yet, and I don't ever stop. And I don't think she's gonna hold me back one. I think she's back there pushing all the time. Kind of tell you what I'm talking about. I'm going to cut that one off, Glenn. Got a little feedback. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had been taught somewhere down the line, and had it within my own mind that Spirit-filled people that spoke in tongues were not learned, and they didn't really know what they were doing, you know, and they just didn't know the Bible well enough to see that all that had passed away. So one night I heard some tongues, and a man interpreted, and come to find out that was a medical doctor that did the interpreting. And I realized that I had to realign my thinking. And that was the first time I heard him. Within a few weeks, the man that had carried me there carried me also to a full gospel businessmen's meeting. And I got up finally when everybody else had gone into the little room to be prayed for, and I followed him after everybody else had gone. And a man said, what did you come for? And I said, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, let me pray with you. And there was no chairs in the room. We were standing around the wall in a college in a dining hall. They had removed the chairs out of a very small dining room. And the tables were there, but no chairs. And there was no place to sit. Now, let me back up. When I was a child, I had a bone infection. Doc would know about that. I had osteomyelitis. I was supposed to have died. The Lord wouldn't let me die. He just kept me alive. But everybody else died that I found that had it. Didn't have any cure for it in 1935. And they finally put me in a cast for a year and a half, and that leg didn't grow because I was in a cast from as high on my leg as you could get it to the tip of my toes with a crossbar under it, and I couldn't move it. And I outgrew it in about six or 8 months' time, and they cut it off, slapped another one right back on right behind before I had time to even look at it. And as a result, that leg didn't grow. And I walked around with a leg that was an inch and a half shorter than the other one. So that night in that meeting, my leg was hurting me. I had rheumatism in the bottom of my foot, and I had rheumatism in the knee as a result of these operations that I'd had and removal of bone and opening of bones. And I would not speak in tongues for some unknown reason. I just would not speak in tongues. I could say praise the Lord, but I couldn't speak in tongues. And finally I said, "Brother, I'm not believing what you're doing, but I've got to sit down." And he said, "Well, let me get you a chair." And he ran out and got a chair. And he said, "Let me pray for what's the matter?" Well, I said, "I got roof. My leg hurts." He said, "Let me pray for that." And I said, "Okay." And he set me in the chair. And he reached down and he picked up my legs. And he said, "There's something wrong with this leg, the left leg." And I have an enormous scar down in my ankle where they removed 6 inches of flesh and bone. And it was such a hole it never grew back fully. And I didn't know what he was talking about. I told him I had rheumatism. And I thought. I said, "Well, the leg's an inch and a half shorter than the other." He said, "Well, praise the Lord for lengthening this leg out just like the other one." When he said that, I thought I stuck my finger in a 110-volt socket. It came through his hand, up my left leg, and straight to my head, just like that. And I said, "What was that?" And he said, "Did you feel that?" And I got up and stumbled around the room, couldn't walk because both legs were leveled. And I had to learn to walk all over again. And if you don't think that won't get your attention, you don't know what you're talking about. I had walked on that leg for over 30 years and hit an inch and a half short. And I had just heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and a man prayed and the power of God moved. He showed me that God loved me enough to do something in my behalf. And that's where I came from. I'm giving you a little background. That's where I came from, and we were so hungry. We did everything we could do. I was everything in the church, a big Baptist church. We had 1,500 to 1,700 members in the Baptist church. I was head of the bus ministry. I drove a bus for the bus ministry. I was assistant Sunday school director. My wife was a Sunday school teacher. She was the church hostess. She was the chief cook and bottle washer for the church. And we fed anywhere from 150 to 250 people every Wednesday night in the church. She did the cooking, and I came down and helped her feed the church on Wednesday night. And this and that, and I was the head of the visitation department, and this. And I wasn't trying to work my way to heaven, because I already had it. I had Jesus Christ, and I knew I had Jesus Christ. But I could not get enough of Him. And I kept reading in the Word of God that it was there and it was for me, but it wasn't in the church. It wasn't there, and I was hungry, and I would come away and my wife would sit and cry because she couldn't find Jesus Christ in all what we were doing in a church. So we went off with a crazy little group of people who threw their hands in the air and praised the Lord and spoke in tongues. And I hit the ground running. We moved with the Lord. And everything, I remember one week that we lived 20 miles north of Memphis. And we put 1,000 miles on an old beat-up car that wouldn't hardly run. Going to a tent over in Arkansas every night in the week. Put 1,000 miles or 1 week on that car. We drove every Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night from north of Memphis to West Helena. We went again when it moved to Ball Knob, and when it was at Mark Tree, and when it was at Marvel, Arkansas. And we followed that tent around because the Spirit of the Lord was there, and we were being fed. Are you being fed? Are you being fed? The real Word of God, the true Word that ministers the truth of the Word of God that says, you can have what you say. Well, I know a bunch of people that grabbed onto that, and they started saying Cadillac and house. And that wasn't what God was talking about. They didn't go on and dig into that word to find out that God would fulfill everything in their life that they needed. Now tonight, if you'll bear with me, we're going to go into Hebrews. So it's what we're going to do. You don't have to turn there, because I'm going to use a verse of Scripture to tell you what we're doing. Over in Hebrews in the 6th chapter, I'll turn there and read it to you. Because this is exactly what God wants for you. In the first verse it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God will permit." Amen. And you know, God is saying, hey, you have learned the fundamentals. You're walking there. I'll bet you that 95% of you are walking in all of that I just named. He said, now let's go further. Now here's what he wants. He wants you to go further. He wants you to dig in this word. Not just, we preach deliverance, but not just deliverance. Preach Jesus Christ. And Him, Lord, over you and everything that you do. When you do something, are you checking out with Him to see? Are you going to the boss to see what if it's all right to move? When you're at work, you don't go outside the limits of your job. You check with somebody if you have something strange to do, it's different. If you're a working man. I still work. I preach, have a church. I'm just like you. Don't think I'm so much different from you. I've been preaching for 12 years now. We've had a church for 12 years. And I walk in the same temptations you walk in. I walk in the same situations you walk in. It's no different with me, and it's no different with Glenn, and it's no different with the other preachers that come in here. Bill walks under that same thing. Do you need deliverance tonight? Why would you need deliverance? You say you're walking in that place. Well, you see, let me ask you this. Did you have trouble getting here tonight? Today? Did you have trouble getting here? Was it a problem in any manner to get here? My people tell me in my church, it's God's church. I just pastor it. This is the hardest church to come to I've ever tried to come to in my life. And we have the devil get in ever so often. One day carried 20 people out. And we take a small church and take 20 people out, you're hurting. And I thought, Lord, we'll never survive with no more than what you've left to share this time. He said, I didn't leave you that. For instance, where's your sickness come from? Who made you sick? I'm doing this for God. God put this on me so I could witness. He put me down in a hospital so I could witness to all those doctors and nurses and everybody come through. What a good Christian I am. Over in the Acts in the 10th chapter in the 38th verse, it talks about how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all of those that were oppressed of the devil. I find sickness is an oppression of the devil. And if it's an oppression of the devil, it has to come from something. And I know Satan's not too much concerned with me. He's got other matters, bigger fish on his mind than me. So he's got an army out here working. There's an army working out there to hit you and I. And he's really working. Who does he work on? Well, Christians can't have devils. They're sealed to the day of redemption. Well, who do you think he's working on? Well, let me explain how he does that so you won't get confused after I quote a scripture like this. Scripture doesn't lie. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe it's true? It doesn't lie, does it? Well, it says that you're sealed to the day of redemption. What got sealed? Did your flesh get sealed? Absolutely not. Your flesh didn't get sealed. It'll take on everything that the devil's got, and it'll glory in it. Because that old flesh just reaches out. It'll do it. It'll absolutely reach out to the devil. Your spirit man. Now, that's a different situation. Your spirit down inside. You're a three-part being. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. When you understand that, you get all that. I'm sure most of you know that. And you know there's nothing new in this book that I brought out here tonight. There's nothing new in here. I don't know how I can tell you something, yet I've got to carry you beyond where we were in Hebrews in the 6th chapter. But there's nothing new in there. So we've got to open up our understanding and go to a point beyond where we have studied so far and go in and dig deeper and say, God, reveal unto me. Now, I'm going to tease your mind a little bit tonight. And I'm going to let you search out the Scriptures. It won't do any good for me to tell you these things. If you don't receive them and they do not conceive in your spirit, then they're no good at all. What are you talking about, conceive in my spirit? Let me ask you this. How did a virgin conceive and have a child? Anybody got the answer? By the Holy Ghost. But how did it happen? That's right, all things are possible to God. Do you know it's in the Word of God exactly how it happened? Did you know it was in there? How it actually took place. When that angel came down and spoke to Mary. God revealed this to my wife now, and she can do it a lot better than I can. That's, you know, she walked real close. I mean, it's nice to have a wife that will share with you. But an angel came down and shared with Mary, and he said, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called Son of the Most High. You call his name Jesus. And what did Mary say? Well, that can't happen to me. I had never had relations with a man before. And I said, that'll never happen to me. No. She said, be it unto me according to your words. And she received that word of God, and that word conceived in her spirit, and it brought forth a man child whose name is Jesus.
Amen.
Now, if you will receive the word of God, and you might not understand it all, but if you will receive it, it will conceive in your spirit and it will bring life. It will absolutely bring life. So, don't ever turn the word of God off. You might not understand it. And you might say, God, I've got to lay this one aside for a while because you'll have to reveal it unto me as we go along. And I'm not a teacher. I'm here to entice you to get into this word. I'm going to give you some scripture tonight. I really believe in the word of God. And when I preach in my church, I'll use anywhere from 15 to 25 scriptures in a sermon. And I don't preach any 10-minute sermon or 20-minute sermons and sing three songs and we go home. We preach for an hour. My goodness. Yes, we preach for an hour most every service, and we sing for an hour. You know, we could have just said amen and gone home when we got through that song service. Do you feel that? How's the Spirit back there, people? How's it on the back row? Is that working back there, huh? The Spirit of God back there? Praise the Lord. It was really moving up here now. I know Glenn was having a time with the Lord, and Bill was having a time, and I couldn't hardly sit still over here. The Spirit of the Lord really moves. And if you'll move with the Spirit of God, God will minister to you. He's talking to the spirit man. It has to come through your intellect, true. But he's talking to the man down here. And this is the man down here that he's listening to, and he's the man that he's deciding what's going to happen to him because he moves by the Spirit, and he's looking at the Spirit man. God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? And in truth. Amen. And when we really learn to worship in spirit and truth, now we say we do, but when we really dig into this and we really have God unfold this word to us, we'll move closer and we'll learn a little bit more. And I'm like your theme song tonight, Bill. I'm really with you. More of Him. That's what we're after tonight. And that's a good theme song for this whole weekend here coming up, that we're going to seek more of God. And in the process, we're going to shed some of the things that the devil has put on us in the past time. Now, we'll have to talk about our church. We have people come to us. They call us. They come to us. Oh, I was talking the other night. We had calls from North Carolina, from Virginia, right out of Win Whirley's back door. Chicago, from Dallas, Texas, from Mississippi, from Alabama, and of course Tennessee. We live in Tennessee. And we're a little old church that you could set over in about a fourth. And I'd like to have a congregation by the take of about a fourth of this itself. Because how small we really are. And they come to us and they want, can you set us free? They call me, can you set me free? I've got this problem. This thing is harassing me, or it's harassing my children. My son or my daughter is on dope. Or I have a daughter in prostitution. And they come with some of the most awful things when you lay it up against Jesus Christ. They're the most awful things you've ever heard in your life. And we just realize that the devil is out to destroy you and your children. And he'll do it through your children a lot of times if you aren't careful. And with this little group of people, they come out. But the odd part is that they want to be set free in 2 hours of all it's taken them 30 years to acquire. Or they want to choose and to pick what they want to get rid of, and don't touch my cigarettes.
Come on, brother.
Right. And they've got something else, and they each one has something that you don't. Mildred was telling someone here tonight and reminded me. This lady and her husband came into the church. She wanted to get rid of her cigarettes. Now, she wanted to get rid of that part. And I got to saying, okay, after our service, we ministered deliverance after service on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I said, okay, they put me on. She signs ministries up there. My wife does that. And she put me on this lady, and I looked at those cigarettes, and I got to digging, and I called this and this, and the Lord began to talk to me. And come to find out, these things were background in the occult. Her cigarettes were background in the occult. And when I did, you never saw a lady get so mad in all your life. And don't you touch my occult practice. Come to find out, she was teaching occult practice. How to tell fortunes. My wife could tell you a lot more about what all she was teaching. But she was very deeply steeped in a cult. And did not want to get rid of it, but wanted to get rid of her cigarettes. And I guess you know it won't work. That won't work. You don't pick and choose with God. And I could stand here the rest of that and just begin to tell you experiences in the church and fill up the whole night by telling you things that the Lord had done and had not. We got into this, I'll tell you one or two. We got into this, we had a prayer meeting in our home every Monday night for I don't know, long years, even before our church, before we went into the ministry. We were ordained as ministers, but we never really planned to pastor a church. But the Lord had other plans for us. And it came up that we got called into this church. But we were having this prayer meeting before that in the home every Wednesday night. And this young man, we live in the back door of a big naval air station in Millington, Tennessee, which is the largest technical training center in the United States. And we have right now, 15,000 sailors out there. Right in my back door, I'm talking about a mile behind my house, there's 15,000 sailors out there. There's a big air station and a big technical training center. And we have people come in from the station into our church. And we were having a prayer meeting, and this young man came in, and all of a sudden he manifested, and he got on the floor, and he wiggled around like a snake and crawled all over the floor. Now, what do you do in prayer meeting when you get a man crawling on the floor? But we learned deliverance. That's what we did. One night there was a young mother who had fairly small children. They were not yet teenagers. We had about three of them, I think, four, maybe four. She came in, and we were having prayer meeting, and she manifested, and her eyes turned green, and she began to cry like a cat. And we had to stop and do deliverance on her. My wife had to carry off in the next room so that we could continue prayer meeting, simply because we don't hide deliverance in the back room in my church. It goes right on. In fact, we stopped services. Sometimes we didn't even have services because deliverance started before services did, and we had to go all the way through with deliverance. So these things happen. And we've seen most everything. We've heard most every story. You don't shock us with your tales of what you've been in and what the devil's done to you, because we've heard just about all of it, I think. And most of it's in the garbage can back there in Tennessee. And you just drop it over in the garbage can when somebody tells you all this stuff. And you minister to them the best you can the Word of God, and you work to set them free. And I told you I was going to share a few scriptures with you. I want to do a little bit. Over in Matthew, in the 16th chapter, some of the things that we believe and walk in, I want to show you some things about deliverance that you need to know. You know the scripture, I'm sure. Most everybody that I've ever run into knows Matthew 16, 17 through 19. But let me take just the first part of 19, because Mildred might share later, and I feel like she will share some of the others. In 19 it says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." So on. I wanted you to look at the keys to the kingdom. He's talking to Peter. Peter has just spoken, and he had, Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I am?" Some said, "Thou art Elijah," and one of the other prophets come back, and you are John, some lie like this. He said, "But who do you say I am?" And old Peter, oh, I love him. Us in our blundering around and getting our foot in our mouth so many times, I can identify with Peter. But not this night. He said, but thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, heaven and earth didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven upon this rock. This knowledge, this revealed knowledge, I build a church. And even hell cannot come stand against it, will not prevail against this church. And I'll give unto you the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we're seeking tonight. Knowledge. Not earthly knowledge. We got that. You can read this word and you can get even the knowledge of what the words of the Bible say. All the world can read it. I read it for years. I read it for years and it did not mean a thing to me. When I was a child in the Baptist church, they taught me the first psalm, the 23rd psalm, the 19th psalm, the 24th psalm, the 100th psalm. And I can still quote most of them to you right now tonight. If you want me to just quote them out to you, I can still do it. But back then, they didn't mean the first thing. I didn't have any idea what those things meant until I come to know Him, the writer, the author. And as I began to know Him, those words conceived in my spirit and brought forth some life. And I saw the need to reach out. And I see too many people that reach to themselves and pull to themselves. And as I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the group of people we were with, that's what we saw. And I moved away and I didn't want to get caught up in something else that did not work the way the church I had been in and was still in. I didn't run from the church. I didn't leave the church. I stayed in that church until I was called to pastor another church. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was given the left foot of the fellowship. Why don't you leave by the pastor? Why don't you just go on and leave? But we stayed. I told him, and the Lord gave me words that I did not have in my spirit. And I told him, you didn't call me to this church, and you can't make me leave this church. But when the Lord who called me to put me to this church tells me to leave, you couldn't make me stay in this church either. And we stayed 4 years, very quiet, lost all of the jobs, got real free, didn't have to be an assistant Sunday school director. Didn't even get to drive the bus anymore. They wouldn't even trust me with the bus. Even when I went to church, they had a deacon sit behind me. I might raise my hands. Sometimes there were two of them sat behind my wife and myself, and they'd say, cool it now. And this is church. This is when we go to worship. But we sought God. We sought Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And He did a work. Praise the Lord, He did a work. And He began to reveal His kingdom. And as we walked deeper and deeper, we learned some things. For instance, in the 9th chapter of Luke, and if you'll pardon me if I use notes, because I don't want to leave out any of this. This is too important. And I've written down the scriptures. I don't write down what I say, but I write down where the scriptures are, because I don't want to skip any of this. And the first verse, he said, then he called the 12 disciples together, and he gave them authority, gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. See what he sent them for? What did he send them for? Cast out devils? No, he sent them to preach the kingdom.
That's right.
But he gave them the authority. It was delegated authority, though. There are two words, or at least two main words used that are translated power. One of them is the thing that you get the word dynamite from. Dunamis. The other one is exousia, which means delegated authority.
Yeah, thank God.
And for a specific job, he delegates the power and the authority to do this. And God is the one that does it. Now, when devils are cast out, somebody does it, but somebody's talking, but it's God casting out the devil. The King James Version does not use the word demon. Nowhere do you find the word demon in the King James Version. They use devils. Other translations do use demon. Don't ask me where they came from. I don't know. It does not say. I've got some good thoughts on it, but I can't authoritatively tell you where demons came from. I know that there are some fallen angels. I know there are a lot of fallen angels. Anybody any idea how many there are? About how many? Anybody got any thought? How many do you know that would be? Anybody any idea how that would be? Millions. How many? I know a place where it tells me that there's 100 million standing before the throne of God, praising God. And if there's 100 million up there, that means there's 33,333,333 got cast out, plus thousands and thousands, it says, even beyond that. I think that's enough to go around, don't you? I think we can do that. Now do you wonder why people say, you see demons under every rock and behind every bush. No, I don't. No, it's seven. They come in families. They come in whole families. I'm not looking for them. They're there. They're there, but I'm not looking for them unless somebody comes and has a need. And they do. They come in multiple numbers. And I'm not, you know, they just come to understand that there are demons. Who do you think's harassing you? Who kept you from getting here on time, or who harassed you to get here? Why was that wreck up the road back up there? You think God caused that wreck? There's only two forces in the world today. There's two forces out there. Now, who's doing it? Line this up and see where the problem's coming from. There's two forces. Comes either from one side or the other, doesn't it? Well, man's just so dirty, he just probably did it himself, didn't he? Well, he was led by something. You have something that works against your mind. Maybe you've got clear minds. Anybody got clear minds? Don't ever get a dirty thought. Not even a little dirty thought. No, he's in there trying to separate you from your God. And this is his playground. Right here is where he is working. Now, he'll get in the flesh. He will get in the flesh and he'll cause infirmity. He'll cause sickness. And we cast out demons and we pray for healing and people get well. I've got a man in my church. He's 80 years old. He wanted to come with us. He said, if you'll just tell me when you're going to preach over there. Well, I didn't tell him until last night that I was coming. And he said, if you'll just tell me, he says, I'll come. He's 80 years old now. He's a widower. And I said, don't know. I don't have any idea. I said, they just thought maybe they might want me to share. So he didn't go. But he came, he called, and the full gospel in Memphis, and they told him to call me because they didn't know what to do with him. And he had problems, and I'll not get into his first problem. But after we got that one straightened out, he said, I've got this problem. He said, I'm a diabetic. I have seizures. So we prayed for him. We cast out the devil. Cast out a demon of diabetes, and we prayed and just prayed for him. That was, 8 years ago? He threw away his Dilantin. Hadn't taken another pill. Not one pill has he ever taken, and never had another seizure. Okay. His first wife had died, and he had remarried. And he brought his second wife to us. And she, he was married at the time that he came to us. But he brought her out. She was thoroughly Baptist. But she forced herself to come. She didn't really like it, but she came. And she decided, well, I'll get some of your deliverance if I have to, just to satisfy him. And we prayed deliver for her on her. And do you know that she got sick and she went to the doctor? And the doctor says, I'm sorry, but you have leukemia. Well, she got serious about deliverance then. She came back to the church very serious, very eager for some deliverance. And for, I guess, 6 months, I ministered regular to that elderly lady and cast out that spirit of leukemia. She never complained about it, but she went back to the doctor for a checkup after that, and he said, you know, said, your leukemia is in remission. Remission. She didn't have any leukemia. It was gone. The Lord set her free from it. 2 months later, she died from a heart attack. Not a sign of leukemia. husband is still with us. He's still going strong. And he is sold on deliverance. He's one of our strong members of the church that really believes in deliverance. So this is who we are, and this is kind of where we're walking. We really sought some of this power. Not for me, because I don't have any power. But we wanted to see God move. But we find out, same as old Peter, over in Luke in the 24th chapter, Peter had walked with the Lord all of this time. Jesus had gone to the cross, and now he appears after the cross. And you would have thought these men that walked with the Lord were pillars of strength who knew exactly who they were, who he was, and where they were going. How would you feel if you walked with Jesus? And for 3 years, you were able to sit under his personal teaching with Jesus Christ. But over in Luke, in the 9th chapter, in the 24th chapter, in verse 44, this is after he is risen from the tomb. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." Now that's what we need. You and I need our understanding open to the Scriptures. We can read this. But God has something even beyond, deeper, because it's a spirit book, and he's a spirit God, and we're spirit man. That there is more to it than what you read on the surface of the Word of God. I've been told, don't be a spiritualist. Don't read things into the Bible. Well, it was a spirit book to start with. It was written by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit directed the Spirit to be written. Amen. He gave it to Spirit-filled people who would hear the Spirit of God speak and told them to write it down. Amen. And you by the Spirit will read it and understand it by the Spirit when you are hungry enough. Amen. I hope you don't have to. Maybe you've already gotten hungry enough. And if you hadn't, I hope you don't have to reach the bottom and have the devil so much in a grip on you that you have to seek it the way I see some people come to me seeking the Word of God. But that you'll be so hungry for the Word of God. You know, there's over in twice in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ, it talks about the seven spirits of God. And it's referring back to Isaiah. To the seven spirits of God. And one of those spirits that I think that we lack in that is the spirit of the fear of God.
That's right, brother.
I don't think we understand the fear of God. The God that made this universe, it is so big that the stars, after have been put out 100 years ago, or maybe 1,000,000 years ago, and the light is still coming. It hadn't got here yet. Now, that's big. When you talk about the size of the earth, your mind can conceive that. But when you talk about the universe, it is impossible to make a scale model of the universe. It's impossible. You can't do it. If in relation to the size of the very smallest or the largest star, the next nearest star in perfect relation to that in size would be completely out of the building and out of the so far away you couldn't even compare the two according to the size of the universe. And my God made it. And you think he can't set you free? You say, well, I know it works, but it won't work for me. That's what I hear. That's what I hear people say. They don't say that word, but that's what they tell me in their actions. It will. Well, when you're committed, when you have sought God and you have sought His understanding, the understanding of the Word of God and Him for who He is, people come to us for deliverance because they want to get set free from whatever this little thing is that's gnawing at them, but they never want to serve God. And until you get to the point where you have the fear of God working in you so strong that you fear not to do right, God will then set you free when you start fearing Him in this manner and this way. I used to tell people, well, the fear of God, that word doesn't have any terror in it. That's a different kind of fear. Baloney. There's terror in there. In the fear of God, there is terror. And you look it up. If you think I'm wrong, you look it up. I love Strong's Concordance, and I use it quite regular. Every time I preach, in fact, I use it. And I dig, because I don't have knowledge of those words. The only Greek I know is the one down on the corner that runs the restaurant. And I don't know the language, so therefore I've got to get in something that reveals the true Word of God, what it was written in the original language, because it loses so much in the translation. And that's why I dig in about 3 or 4 different Bibles when I study, because I get more than one man's opinion that way. But if you will earnestly seek God, then God will meet you where you are and begin to open your understanding, just like He did these disciples who met Him there on this beach, on the Sea of Galilee that night after He had risen from the grave, from that tomb. And He will do the same for you. Now, in John, in the 20th chapter, we have a very strange scripture here that seemed so strange to me when I first read it. I said, God, you've got to be mistaken. You know that's wrong. Well, you've got to be wrong on that one. Chapter 20, verse 21, and Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Let's stop right there. That word sent, send and sent, we can't be sent the way Jesus was sent to us, can we? Because He was sent to save the world.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.